Hello and welcome to this episode of the University Guy podcast. I'm David Hawkins, an independent college counsellor from the UK. In this episode, I'm continuing my series of interviews with members of the international university admissions community. My guest in this episode is a colleague whose career has mirrored my own, but from the university side of international admissions. Both of our careers in some ways mark a growing development within this profession, away from the dominance of North America, and indeed of an Anglo-centric model. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Today I'm speaking with Anne Kearse. Anne, good morning.
Good morning.
So Anne, could you describe a little bit about your job and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So I work at Tilburg University, which is a medium-sized university in the south of the Netherlands. I'm part of the recruitment department, which means that we try to recruit international students for our international programs. But the department is kind of separate from the admissions team. So we collaborate with admissions, but I don't do admissions myself.
Great. And you're selling Dutch culture at the moment, because as we were talking before I started recording, you're having a cup of coffee and you can hear people enjoying themselves in the Netherlands. So really showing the student experience right there.
Exactly. Yeah, this is just like how a student would go for a little break in the morning and in between classes, you know, study at a coffee place.
Absolutely. Then go off on their bike and ride through tulip fields and go past canals.
Exactly. Windmills, wooden shoes.
Perfect. Got it. So a lot of the people listening to the podcast will, like me, have become aware over the last sort of 7-8 years or so of the Netherlands as a really new and growing in popularity destination to study your degree in English. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in chatting to you a bit about kind of how your career has sort of mirrored that. So first of all, how did you get into working in this field of international higher education?
Yeah, it's so funny because whoever I speak to, it seems that everyone kind of rolls into it. It's a field that you're not always aware exists until you discover it and you find out it's the perfect job for you. And that's kind of what happened for me as well. I was actually trained to teach primary school. And after that, I continued my education in university and I was trained in the field of communication sciences, looking at business communication, but also things like social linguistics and child language development. So it's a little bit of language and a little bit of communication. And then I ended up I found this job at the university because I did my master's in Tilburg as well. And then I just kind of stuck around. I had no idea beforehand what was to be expected, but I've always loved traveling. When I did my training, I did an internship in Indonesia, and I think that really sparked my travel bug. And this job really brings all of it together because it's education. I do a lot of communication, giving presentations, but there's also a lot of travel involved. So it's basically just I found a job on the university website and then I rolled into it and I found out there's this whole world and this whole profession behind it, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it is fascinating to think back of people like yourself and colleagues across other universities who are now really plugged into the international admission scene. I wonder, you know, in those early days when Dutch universities were just saying, right, we're going to go out into the world now and promote our English speaking programs, what was that like to be starting off with?
I think in the beginning it was quite a hard fight for us because we found that most of the students are always traditionally have this dream of going to the United States or the United Kingdom. And then, you know, their second choice would always be Canada or Australia. So for us, the fight was first to put Dutch education on the map. So you cannot be really focused on yourself only. You cannot just say, oh, it's all about Tilburg University, because actually you have to brand the country first so that students are even open to that idea. And I think this has forced us to work together even more. We are generally a pretty collaborative culture, but I think this whole situation has made it even more important for us to collaborate with each other as universities / competition / colleagues, you know?
Yep. So over that time, how has the profile of Dutch universities changed?
I think that there's been a massive change over the years where at first there were only a few universities teaching degrees fully in English. I think it started out with a degree here and there and then also the university colleges. I think University College Utrecht was the first one that started an American-style liberal arts and sciences program in the Netherlands. And that was the kind of the quintessential first one, and also really following that style of American education where you live on the campus. And then other programs offering a fully English taught degree within a Dutch university setting was relatively new, but now I see it's really like a snowball effect where there's been more and more and more. So when I started working for our university, we had 5 bachelor's programs taught in English, and right now we have 15. So there's new ones every year. I think universities are seeing the value of international students. So there's really kind of like a, yeah, how do you say that? Like a competition going on of getting the best international students to our universities. And I think internationally, we're becoming more and more recognized. So the community is also helping us. There's counselors talking about the education in the Netherlands and, hey, this is actually this kind of hidden gem, which is worth, you know, looking at or investing in. And they're advising their students to look into it as well. So I think we've really reached a momentum where it's being recognized now. More and more students want to go. And I'm just also curious to see what will be the next step in our development, basically.
Yeah, I mean, given that, I know there was, you know, been sort of various tensions within the Dutch higher education scene and politics about all these English taught degrees. Mm-hmm. As someone who's looking at this from sort of a place of sending students to the Netherlands, I'm interested in what it's like for the receiving institutions. Where do those tensions come from, and are they something that students should be concerned about?
Yeah, I can imagine. I think it's a very logical question. I think it stems from a place where, as you know, most of Dutch higher education is funded by the government. So all the EU students can also benefit from this government-funded education. So they pay about 2,000 euros. But what a lot of students and a lot of Dutch students don't realize is that the government contributes about 6,000 euros per student per year. So a lot of tax money is going into higher education in the Netherlands. And we're getting more and more programs that are selective. Whereas beforehand, we have this philosophy of access to education. So if you have a certain type of diploma, which about 20% of the population gets, you are entitled to a place at university somewhere. Of course, there have to be some prerequisites, like you have to have taken the right subjects, etc. But access to education is very important for us. And parents are seeing that with the influx of international students, they are worried that maybe these international students are taking the place of their students or their children. So that's part of the concern. And the other part is that we are teaching in English, but we are natively not an English-speaking country. So there are also some people who are concerned about, you know, losing our language. Are the standards of our own language still being kept up? So I think those are the criticasters, let's say, or the people on the critical side of things. But on the other side of things, you know, English is the language of business and science. So if you want to be anyone in the world, you have to speak English. It's a language of the future. What we're also seeing is that students, also Dutch students who graduate from an international program and who are studying among international students, hugely benefit from that. Plus, the country as a whole also benefits from international students because we have a shortage of students or of knowledge in STEM subjects. So we actually are dependent on international students, and international students also contribute to our economy. So there's the critical side of things, and then there's the other side where, you know, there's a huge part of our culture that's always wanted to be international, always valued internationalization. So I don't see any actual policy changes. I think it's good to have these discussions, but I don't see any real hardcore policy changes coming on anytime soon.
Okay. It's interesting, and as you say, you know, going back as myself as a historian into the midst of time, the Dutch were out exploring the world and trading and doing this kind of stuff, and just, you know, knowing your own personal history, Anne, that you studied in all sorts of different countries and lived around the world, so it does seem a very kind of Dutch motivation to get out and see the world, and I guess to bring people in. What is this sort of quite significant rise, though, in international students coming to Dutch universities doing to Dutch universities themselves?
I think it's for a large part it's keeping us on our toes, because I find that Dutch universities, public universities, they tend to have a certain level of service, and some people who work there can be a bit set in their ways. And I think having international students and having people with a different perspective coming along forces you to change your perspective and forces you to recognize that these people need extra help, that they need extra services. So I think it I see an improvement in the university, and I see the university changing and becoming more flexible towards welcoming these different people from different backgrounds and making sure that we also have services in place for them. So I think for us it's a good development, being more aware of different cultures. And you can say, oh, we're tolerant and you're welcome to come here, but we also have to adjust to the international student. We cannot just say, well, you can come here, but you have to do everything our way and you have to understand all of our, you know, systems and everything. So yeah. It's forcing us to be more open-minded, more flexible, more helpful, more service-driven.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. One of the things I think is really important for people to understand is obviously the Dutch universities, or the vast majority of the ones that they might meet with or see, are all, as you said, public institutions. And actually, when you think about public institutions in other Western European countries, I think, for example, like people who want to go to universities in, say, Spain or Italy, the public universities tend not to have that level of service. It's very much a case of, this is a product designed for our domestic population, and you kind of have to fit your way into it.
You have to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, even if the program is in English, you won't necessarily have, you know, your health provided in English and your help with your accommodation and your banking and your registration status and those kind of things. Is this a conscious decision by Dutch universities to put all those things all together, or is it sort of accidental in the fact that the Netherlands is, to all intents and purposes, a bilingual country, Dutch and English?
I think it's something that, as we spoke about earlier, it's very deeply rooted in our culture, because we've always been a country of explorers. We've always traveled. And I think we are just... The universities are public, so they are government-funded, and we do have regulations from the government that we have to follow, but we also have to make sure that our organization is healthy financially. So we get money from students who enroll, we get money from the government who supplements those funds. The universities are funded by research funding, but we also have to make sure that we have enough students to keep our universities going as well. So a lot of universities are partially also thinking like a business. And I think that's also where the service thing comes in. So it's a public university, but it's also a university that recognizes that, you know, in order to stay on top, you have to keep moving and being flexible, and you have to think a little bit like a business.
Yeah.
I think that's very much at the core of Dutch culture as well. Just, yeah.
I mean, it does seem very similar to a UK university model in terms of international student services, and it's publicly funded and accredited and things, compared to sort of the more Southern European one, which is that, you know, pack it in and make the most of it. And if it doesn't work out, then, well, have another go somewhere else. So that you guys are in sort of that more sort of Northern European Protestant work ethic kind of thing of trying your hardest.
I think that's a good way to describe it. Yes, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you can also see that the universities who are more aware of this and who are on this bandwagon already longer are also the ones that have the largest international student populations usually, and that are spoken about the most and that are doing better in international recruitment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the more I hear of increasingly awareness of Dutch universities, and even when I go and visit schools and go to fairs, I'm no longer surprised when there's just a Dutch university representative there, a student's been sent over, or a former student's manning a stand. The work that you guys have all done has really hit that point. I wonder, as other countries kind of consider copying the Dutch model of rising to the level where, you know, a good friend of yours and mine, Alex Whitcomb, has just won the Rising Leader Award at the Council of International Schools, which is
amazing.
Fantastic for him and a real honour, not for his university, but I think as a mark of just where Dutch universities have come to in the international space. If universities from, you know, other less well-known areas, and a fan I am of Belgian higher education, particularly the Flemish model, and how, you know, they should get together and promote themselves, what tips might you give to kind of other university sectors that you think might copy the Dutch models? What are the kind of the key points of success that you guys have hit upon?
I think the main thing that's made us successful is collaboration. We've realized that we cannot do it on our own. Tilburg University is great, but it gets a much stronger profile when grouped together with other Dutch universities under the umbrella of Dutch education. We have to convince people that Dutch education as a whole is strong. before we can brand our own institutions. And I think that's what's helping us massively, because it's also generating natural traffic now. So, you know, like I missed a conference this year, which was really terrible, but the presence of the country is still there and people will still remember us and you know about the concept as a whole. And I think that's something that Belgian universities are still struggling with. I think it's the same for the UK, you know. You all the universities are different, but the hallmark of UK education is has its own it's recognized across the world because of its quality, because of its a certain lifestyle that comes with it. And I think that's something that we've been quite successful at now. But also, in order to get somewhere, you have to invest a little bit. And that's something that people sometimes don't realize, or that school counselors don't realize, because they ask us, oh, you know, I have great students here in Kenya and you should come and see them. But they don't realize that a trip like that costs 2,000 euros and our marketing budgets are much smaller than those of the US universities. Yeah. So we've also had to be quite smart in trying to maximize our budgets and making sure that we get that diversity, but in a sensible way.
Yeah, well, that kind of leads on to my next question. And the people I've spoken to on this In Conversation With series before have been from US higher ed. I really did want to speak to you from someone who's, you know, at a from a different style of university and also a different stage in their career. You and I have kind of, our careers in this world have started at the same time, and we're now in that period where we can look back and reflect. So how is kind of your professional career different from your peers in other university sectors? What kind of differences stand out for you?
I think a big difference is just in simply the way the universities are set up or their job description. So when I compare Dutch universities with American universities, and American universities, I've seen that mostly people who travel are also the people who read applications. So it's admissions officers who do also a lot of the assessment of files, whereas in Dutch universities, we've kind of split those two. And there's a good reason for it, because our admission policies are a lot simpler, because we basically look at the diploma that someone has, and we are not incredibly selective like those American universities. So I find that there's been a really steep learning curve for me getting into this business, learning about how American universities see students, how they assess files, how they look at selection, how they look at spending their budgets, the way they travel, the super long trips that they take abroad, the many countries that they visit, and what it means for them to recruit a student. Recruiting one international student covers that entire trip, whereas for us, that's a whole different story. I think for us, it's always been a little bit more like an underdog position. Also being from a university that's not in the capital, because many people always know Amsterdam University or the University of Amsterdam, but they haven't heard from the other university. So I feel like it's a lot more self-made success. You have to work a little bit harder to convince someone, maybe. So I feel like my background in communication and in teaching and you know, presentation skills, that's more the core of my job than actually understanding different university systems and reading files and things like that, although that comes along with it as well. So I think working at a Dutch university means that you have to find a lot of this stuff out by yourself, basically. But it's a really fun and rewarding job as well. You get to meet people from all over the world and you get to learn so much from all these different people. So now when we hire new people, I'm able to bring that knowledge and train them as well, so that they are better prepared for this reality, basically. Does that answer your question?
It's fascinating. I think it is something that, because I think historically your profession and my profession and how they interface with each other has been dominated by North America. Mm-hmm. And I think an awful lot of the way in which the profession has set itself up over 15, 20 years is based on someone who's from the United States or Canada coming out of a college counseling background that way, or transitioning from the higher ed side, dealing with people like US and Canadian colleagues who are going around the world recruiting students and reading applications. So I do find that kind of difference now of, you know, people from a British background like me, Dutch universities like yourself and your colleagues are changing the dynamics of how the profession works. And that is potentially leading to some internal tensions within the sort of organizations that represent us, that it's no longer a profession that's 95% North American. You will travel around the world. You as a Dutch citizen will be in China speaking to students from Africa whose counselor is from the UK. There's nothing sort of North American involved in that. Whereas, 10 years ago in Council of International Schools and International Association for College Admissions Counselling, a large chunk of that would be to do with North America.
Yeah, I think that's changed massively. And, I'm very grateful also. I can imagine that, American universities have always been on top, and now they do get quite a bit of criticism, especially about the tuition fees. And I think that must be hard because, if you work for a university like that, that's not necessarily your choice, or, you have to deal with this increased competition. I think for us, it's just maybe the right time politically as well for students to start looking for different options. I mean, when you look at things like minimalism and all these trends, it goes along with wanting a different university experience as well.
Yeah, and it's giving students the range of options as to all the different styles of things you can find, rather than just falling into a pathway. To know that your options are global.
Yeah, that's true. And I do think, Dutch universities, I think, offer great quality, but there's also still work to be done on our side because, going to a Dutch university is not the same as going to an American or a UK university where you live in dormitories and you have the whole university experience on campus. That's very different at Dutch university. So it still requires some independence on the part of the students as well. I do think that if they go through all that, it delivers superbly independent humans, but it's not for everyone still.
Yeah. I mean, it actually reminds me of something I talked about a few times, an activity I put in place when I was working in, as you know, at the International School of Brussels, and that we had something like 80 different nationalities amongst the student body, and with our grade 10, so year 11 students, we tried to ask them to define university. Mm-hmm. And what I think of in my head about university is very different maybe from what you would have thought of growing up, is very different from a Japanese student or a Kenyan student or an American student. On a very basic level, how long is a degree? Is massively different. So we use this term university, and as you say, your experience if you go to the Netherlands will be vastly different from if you go to the US, and same if you went to Italy, or same if you went to Hong Kong.
And I think the challenge on the part of all of us in this profession is trying to get across what students can really expect, to make sure that the right student ends up in the right place, because in the end, that's also what we want. We're not all about getting the most students regardless of their experience. We also want the right student in the right place, because they make a huge investment financially, but also, emotionally, moving to a different country. And it's up to all of us to make sure that the fit is as close as possible, as good as possible, basically.
Yeah, I agree. So kind of just to finish off and ask you to stare into the future, you think a decade ago, well, I'd have been teaching some history classes, not at all aware of international education. You wouldn't be planning your next exciting travel around the world to go and bring students to Tilburg. In the next 10 years, what kind of developments do you see for Dutch higher education and the work that you do?
I think that with all the discussions that are going on now, I wouldn't be surprised if the Dutch government at some point gives us some regulations about the programs we're allowed to offer in English. Because I think they want to make sure that there's enough available in Dutch as well. So maybe it will be a little bit harder for us to offer or to open new English taught degrees. I think they'll also be checking on the quality as they always have been. And also I see with the influx of different students coming from all over the place that maybe the universities will become a little bit more selective in the future. I think that's definitely something that might be on the horizon. As for myself, sorry?
I say students should get in now then before it gets too hard.
Yes, get in now. Well, you see already that it's changing because universities, if a university has a program and say they have space to train 500 students, but they get 1,000 applications, they have to take them if the students meet the entrance requirements, if it's a non-selective program. And that's just a model that doesn't work in the long run. So I think we're also going to have to convince the government to allow us to change some of our deadlines, for example, because we cannot let students into the programs until super late into the year, because it just creates problems for our cycle. So we are still in the process of becoming more internationally minded in the whole admissions game as well. And I think now if a university has a course that's completely oversubscribed, they can change it into a selective course from one year to the other. So it's for counselors very important to stay on top of this and make sure that every year you check this, because it's not just the university, but it's the program itself that can change every year. So I feel like it's a, you know, it's a realm that's still very much in motion. So it's never a boring day.
No, and anyone who says that college councils are important is going to get my support.
Yes, exactly. Well, but they are. They are massively important, and they carry huge responsibility. So
there we go. I'm going to quote you and put it on my website, Anne.
That's fine. That's great. Not a problem. Yeah.
And then you're saying for you personally, Anne, in your career, you see Dutch education still providing opportunities for you to grow and develop professionally?
Definitely. I feel like this job has kind of is holding me hostage, because when I started it, I didn't realize that I would like it so much. And I think the job and the community is just constantly still always keeping me on my toes, always keeping me interested. And I don't see myself leaving anytime soon.
Great. Well, on that note, I have to say thank you, Elle, for your time.
Yes. Alsjeblieft.
My huge thanks to Anne for her time and a really fascinating insight into life working for a Dutch university and some of the differences that brings into her day-to-day work. That's all for this episode. Thanks for listening. As ever, please get in touch via my website, www.hawkinsglobaleducation.com, or through Twitter at UniguyDavid.